Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Richard Allen found guilty, and she's been following this case from the very beginning. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI Special Agent. I know this is one of the cases that has been super close to you and your heart. What was your reaction when we got the verdict just the other day? Richard Allen, guilty on all counts.
Right. Well, Tony, I have to tell you, I expected it. I actually sent out something earlier that day that he would be found guilty. I've always said it's going to be because of the bullet, magic bullet. I think that was the foundation of the reason, the main reason. But from a personal standpoint, I could not have voted guilty on that ballot. I couldn't have raised my hand as guilty from what I know, but I don't think the jurors got to know everything.
Yeah.
And so I really respect the time and the energy and emotion that had to have been what those jurors felt.
Yeah.
So, I respect their verdict. I just could not have voted guilty personally.
No, I agree. Were you surprised by the end of this, that the defense or the prosecution really didn't put out, I think in most people's idea, a very strong case against Richard Allen? It was pretty much everything we already knew, but I think even some of the evidence flimsier than we thought it was going to be until it reached the courtroom.
Well, I think myself and many people in the true crime community, we really expected these bombshell confessions with a beginning and an end. You know, I woke up and then, very specifics about the crime, specifics about what he did. We didn't get any of that. It was very general. There were 61 of them. They were very convoluted, of course, amidst a lot that might have been going on with him in the prison. Not saying he was persecuted there, just saying anyone in SEG in a maximum security prison, it would take everything they had mentally to overcome that if they'd never been in prison before, which he'd never even been in jail before, an absolutely clean criminal record. So I think I was disappointed in the details that weren't there in the confessions. The van was mentioned, but that's also problematic for me, just knowing from the very beginning there were talks of a van, and he would likely have known that from discovery and also possibly from conversations with Dr. Walla. Mm-hmm. So I wish those would have been cleaner, the confessions. I wish that the testimony from the witnesses regarding the person they saw on the bridge would have been cleaner and matched. The confession or the details regarding the vehicles would have matched instead of been three different vehicles they described. The bullet, I do believe from all accounts that that expert was a very good expert, knew what she was doing, and believed in her analysis. But that analysis isn't a fingerprint, it's not DNA, and there were a lot of issues concerning the analysis from my view. And so I think I was just so disappointed that it wasn't stronger.
And it was surprising, I guess not surprising because we knew it going in, just how little would be able to be argued on the part of Richard Allen. But after seeing what was argued and the way that they stopped fairly early, I think surprised a lot of people. Should they have gone on longer? Should they have made more arguments? Should there have been more witnesses brought to the stand to really show who Richard Allen is and was prior to this? Obviously, we didn't get to sit there and watch it, but a lot of logistics discussed here, but not a lot about selling the character of Richard Allen, it feels like, to the jury itself.
I agree with you. How they did not call people from his National Guard unit, how they did not call people from his CVS store. I mean, he worked there over a decade.
Yeah.
How did they not call people from the pool hall, you know, his best buddies? How come his wife didn't take the stand? Why didn't he take the stand? Considering everything that was on the line and the fact that they would not allow any third party culprit defense, that leaves you with character and that leaves you with Richard Allen. And then the other issue was the fact that they did not test the bullet or the gun. They just relied on photos, and the other witness was excused from testimony because he didn't test anything. That was a huge mistake on the part of the defense, which I think occurred because of money, because there was very little money allowed in this case for experts.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously that does, you know, put a kink into one's plans if you can't afford to get those witnesses. They're not cheap by any stretch of imagination. But it did feel like that the character of Richard Allen, I still don't know much about Richard Allen other than like the logistics of, you know, where he worked and he has a family, no history, but that's just kind of it. And in a case like this, where it's so brutal and horrible, you got to humanize the person that they're making out to be this monster. And I still think we just walk away with, we've seen many pictures of Richard Allen, but I don't even know, you know, his voice. But, you know, they liked to try and argue about his voice in this case, saying that he is the man on the bridge, saying down the hill. Their officer expert, where did he base that on? Just his opinion, but presented it as fact on the stand. What was your thoughts on that, where he said, that's Richard Allen's voice? Just his opinion.
Well,
though,
I don't think it should have been allowed.
Yeah.
That's so unusual. First of all, voice exemplars could have been taken from Richard Allen. They could be court ordered and compared. And they didn't want to do that, I'm quite sure, because voice, people who analyze voices, even in the FBI, even in the laboratory, all the years that I worked those kinds of cases and used the lab in that regard, they will never say it's his voice. Mm-hmm. They will just say whether it tends to have the characteristics or doesn't. Mm-hmm. So, or it can't be excluded, or it could be excluded, but it may be, they're very wishy-washy. Same with handwriting typically.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that they didn't want that on the record, you know, some wishy-washy account. But
yeah,
I could tell you what typically is used are people who know him,
yeah,
that come forward. And if you look, as an example, in the Ron Logan affidavit, you know, another person that was considered at least by the FBI as being responsible for this crime, these crimes, his girlfriend came forward and said, that's him. You know, and that's documented in the affidavit that was presented. So that's typically what happens is a loved one, a friend, a family, you put them on the stand and they say, yes, you know, under oath, yes, yeah, that's my uncle's voice or whatever it might be. And they didn't do any of that. And to put a police officer who probably heard him talk twice is absolutely not an expert. And I thought it was remiss. I think this is going to be a big point of appeal. The fact that an officer was able to say what his reflections were about the video and that he thought it was the voice, that is a fact for the jury to consider, not for the jury to be told.
Yeah, especially when it's coming from an officer. I mean, there's some more weight behind that. It sounds more official when it's coming from someone like that than just somebody, like it sounds like him. I was shocked by that element of the case. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.